Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's my pleasure to come here to preach to all of you. As the chairperson just said, and keep reminding us that the Chinese New Year is coming. Are you busy preparing the food and everything for the visitors that is to come to your house? do you enjoy the two New Year in Hong Kong? Yes, because there are many food in the Chinese New Year, and also I think what's more is we have the second chance to do to finish what we haven't for the first New Year. Usually, in the New Year, we will reveal how the past year, right? And also, we'll set a plan maybe for the coming year. So, have you finished these two tasks yet? maybe. Today is the time when we are welcoming the new year. We can do this. Take a few minutes, maybe take 1 minute. We don't have much time here, but to take a quick glimpse of what happened in the last year. What impressed you the most? Or there are some aftermath still ongoing? Think about it. And then remember that feeling. We'll come back to it a moment later. Today's passage is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 to 15. It includes the famous poem of time, which is in verses 1 to 8. May we gain the wisdom, comfort, and strength from God. Let's start with verse 1. For everything, there is an appointed time and an appropriate time for every activity on earth. You can see from the slide that there's a ABBA chiastic structure. So everything corresponds with every activity. Appointed time corresponds to appropriate time. Everything and every activity includes all things that happen in this world, whether it's done by human or not. Appointed time and appropriate time refers to a fixed time, a reserved time. Just like here in Yanfolk, the English service is fixed at 10:14 a.m. every Sunday morning. Or maybe you have a company meeting coming after the New Year or just tomorrow, as well as a wedding day. It's a fixed time, fixed date. The first verse is like an introduction to the poem of time, following 14 pairs of contrasts, which are the things that happen in human life, including life cycle, human activity, emotional range, and relationship change, etc. When you read or listen to these 14 contrasts, just because we just read it, what do you feel or think? Anything cross your mind? Is there anything that you would or wouldn't want in these 14 pairs of contrasts? Or something that you think is good or bad? Do you think you have a preference for them? In fact, the author of Ecclesiastes didn't have the intention to classify them into good or bad, right or wrong. Neither is there any moral judgment. They are just all parts of phenomenon we can observe in our world. the common experience shared by all the mankind in daily living and throughout the lifespan. Let's examine them together. Verses 2 to 4. In verses 2 to 3, it describes the start and end as well as neuter and destruction of life. Maybe we would intuitively think that born, plant, heal, and build are good, but the other four are indeed necessary and essential. Do you agree? Die, uproot, and kill. In John chapter 12:24, let's read together. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The death of seeds brings forth more life opportunities. Do any of you plant in your garden or in your house? Maybe yes. So you know, you observe the circle of life, right? Death is necessary to bring new life. Just like the death of Jesus Christ establishes the salvation for the entire humanity. This is the wisdom of God. The object of kill and heal are both people. In a peaceful society where we are, we normally don't face killing. But there are still places in the world in which killing and healing happen simultaneously. Tear down and build frequently happen in city construction. Do you have any construction site near your home? You see, there are many changes around us. And also as Christians, we experience our life being torn and built in our journey of faith, usually for spiritual growth in God. And then, verse 4 describes our emotional response. Weeping and mourning are the expression when one is facing loss. Laugh and dance is the expression when one has something to be happy with. What do you think of emotions? When we talk about emotions, what pop up in your mind? Do you think they are good or bad? Redundant or useful? There's a Chinese saying, one should not show one's joy or anger on one's face. 喜怒不形于色. Do you agree? So many Chinese people are quite reserved, right? We don't normally express much about our emotion. Do your parents teach you that when you are small, when you are a child, when you are angry, what did they say to you? Why are you angry? What's the use to be angry? When you cried because you are sad or afraid, don't cry. Crying is useless. Just do something. Doing is useful. Did it sound familiar to your ears? So we learn from a small age that we shouldn't cry when we are sad, and we shouldn't show fear even when we are frightened. If we show our emotion, people will think we are, what's their judgment? Immature, unstable, too sensitive. So, what's the result? We learn that we have to suppress our feelings to the extent that we may even deny their existence. Do you think you have feelings? Because I do counseling as well sometimes. When I ask the brothers and sisters, what do you feel? They say, I have no feeling.
It's cold blood, right?
I have no feeling. And when I ask, really? Maybe we call something, and then what do you feel about it? They say, I don't know. I think it's quite normal, actually. And also not only among the Chinese. Because this world tells us that we don't need to be emotional. Doing is good. However, emotions are indeed gifts from God, which let us express and release what we feel inside and enhance communication and relationships. What is relationship without feeling? They are just working relationship, right? You and your spouse, you must have feeling, right? Otherwise, you are just colleague, co-worker. That's true. Even our relationship with God. Do you feel love of God? If you don't, you just believe in your head. So the author of Ecclesiastes is telling us that weep and mourn, laugh and dance are all natural and normal reaction of people to the things happen to them. Long-time suppression of emotions, on the other hand, hinder relationships and affect physical and mental health. Some of us have experienced or suffer much from this, and also we will have people around us in those conditions. Apostle Paul also said in Romans chapter 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's his teaching to us. So we need to feel the feeling, to be empathetic, right? To be with those. So verses 2-4 gives us a big picture, allow us to have an overview on the reality in life. Those are all normal situations, part of the world we live in. Hence, when we encounter this situation, we could be psychologically prepared and know that all of them will in time pass. At the beginning of this sermon, I ask you, how have you been in the past year? Do you experience any gain, any loss? Anything that you are excited about or anything that makes you depressed? Please be assured that you are not alone. You may reach out to the people who care about you, and they will show you kindness and support. And you could be the one, you could also be the one who provide support and comfort to home around you too. Loss in life is inevitable, and there will be help from God and the community of God. In the fellowship that my husband and I lead in Yanfu Church, our brothers and sisters also experienced a few loss around the year. Some are their parents, some may be their health, some their job. The good thing that we have a fellowship is that we can talk about them, we can pray with them, and also we can give some practical help with each other. So don't keep it to yourself, because God gives us this congregation, our brothers and sisters, our fellowship, so that we could face together. Let's move on to verses 5-8. Scatter stones and gather stones is a metaphor, and there are different interpretations among scholars. A possible interpretation is about preparing a land for use. A scatter stones is to remove the obstacle on the land, whereas gather stones is to place obstacles on the land to prevent the enemy from using it. Normal human activity. Embrace and refrain from embracing. I think we are familiar with this pair, right? Do you have time that you embrace, and do you have time that you refrain from embracing, especially in your close relationship? Yesterday is Valentine's Day. Do you have any conflict with your partner, a spouse? Sometimes maybe just about which restaurant to go, or whether he or she reserve a table properly. Sometimes we want to embrace when we are in good mood, and sometimes we refrain from embracing when we hold grudge in our heart. So it refers to human relationships. And search and give up, as well as keep and throw away, refers to how people handle their possessions. Again, in Chinese New Year, we used to do the great wiping. We clear our house to... I love this part very much, to throw away all the things I don't need. You know, do you enjoy throwing things away? Or do you enjoy keeping things? Different people have different preference. Some people like to keep things. Some people like to collect things. Right? So if you and your family members, some of you want to throw away, some of you want to keep it, again, conflict. But sometimes throw away is very very important. You know, we have some elderly in Hong Kong. Do you go to visit some elderly in your community? Do you know that some of them keep many, many things in their small house? And then there will be problems accumulate those things, hygiene and also space. Sometimes during the Chinese New Year, when the children come to their parents' house, they want to clear the things up. But usually the parents will be angry about it. The reason is also usually that I may use it someday, you know. Someday. And then if you ask, so when's the last time you use it? Okay, 10 years ago or never. But just if I need to use it and then it's gone, I will blame you, you know, something like that. So handle possessions is not as easy as it looks. Man and silence, another pair, is about the process of grieving. Do you know when the Israelite tear down their clothes? In the Bible, there are some record about they torn down their clothes. So when's then? In mourning, and also when they are shocked, they are sad, something like that. Tearing down their clothes is to externalize their heartbroken feelings. Today we don't do this, right? When you are sad, you don't tear off your clothes. But sometimes if you are angry, you may tear off something. So it's externalize our feelings. And also to release and alleviate the pain. When you release it, it becomes easier. And let the people around them to know clearly that they are in pain. It's quite a dramatic gesture, right? So you know clearly that something is disturbing that person. But after the mourning period, the torn clothes will be mended again. That we seldom see recorded in the Bible. But that's true. They mended it after some time. Part of the reason is because clothes are very quite expensive at that age. So they for economic reason, they will mend it. But it's also an important meaning for this. It signifies of entering the healing period after mourning. A time to be silent and a time to speak is an important theme through the books of wisdom in Bible, to speak appropriately at appropriate time. Grieving or mourning does not refer to general unhappiness or sadness, but the process one must go through when facing loss. In this year, I heard multiple times some of our brothers and sisters will say, because when they are aging themselves and also their parents are aging too, they will say, I cannot imagine if one day I may lose them. I'm afraid to even imagine that. We are so frightened about loss. So grief counseling is a specialty. You may probably have heard of the five stages of grief. Anyone heard about this before? It's been out for several 10 years. It said there are five stages of grief. Denial. It's not true. It's not happening. I refuse to accept that. And then it's anger. Why me? Why is the one I love? And then bargaining. Usually, if it's about the health, because our loss can be our health as well. Some people will say, oh, I will be good. I will change my diet. I will change my exercise. I will do good. Bargaining. Can I have more time to be on earth with my families and friends? And sometimes we bargain with God. We say, God, I will be good. Can you give me more time? Or can you keep my loved one with me? I will preach the gospel to him or to her. I will tell them how good the Lord is. Bargaining. And then we may go into depression. We lost energy to do anything. We just feeling sad. And then last acceptance. Those five stages is not necessarily chronological. Sometimes the stages will overlap and sometimes it will go back and forth. But ultimately the final stage is to acceptance. Acceptance does not mean we abandon or forget. It means we accept the loss from our hearts and are ready to move on to recovery. And recovery does not mean we would revert to the state before the loss, but to live with this experience, keep learning and growing. So if you find yourself or someone you know with these emotions and the conditions last for some time, please don't blame yourselves or them. It's normal. Sometimes I heard people say that, oh, it's been weeks. Why haven't you come out? You must be always joyful. Even quote the Bible. But that's not true. Grieving needs time. What we need to do is to listen and be supportive. In grief counseling, we talk about grief properly. Grief properly. It means don't rush, don't push, don't deny it, don't suppress it. But usually the emotional path and the rebuilding path, they are going to together. It's not that we must finish the emotional part and then we can rebuild. It's not that. Usually, on the contrast, we start the rebuilding first and then we ignore the emotional part. Right? There are many people when they face their loss, they keep them busy. They clear out the house, they do some administrative work, and they keep them busy at work. at their job, but then they never touch their heart. But it maybe, but you need to grieve properly. So it doesn't mean the one in grief should walk alone in darkness, because when we face grief, sometimes we feel that no one can understand us. God made us to be relational, and we will need support and company. Also, the length of time required is different case by case. We have that classifications like simple grief and complicated grief. Complicated grief means usually caused by sudden damage or death, caused by disaster or accident. So, in complicated grief, the time and help lead for recovery will be very different from our general grief. The Hong Kong city, we experienced some collective trauma end of last year. The fire in Tai Po. I talked to some residents from that place. Many people are in grief, but they keep busy in doing many things. They are strong, but they also need care. So if you find yourself or someone you know to face this kind of situation, you may ask for help. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. It gives us comfort because we know after tearing, there will be time for mending. Verse 8 ends with two important pairs of contrast, love and hate, war and peace. They are the most important and relentless subjects throughout histories and cultures. Maybe we hope that the world only have love and peace, but even here, the author didn't express any bias. No matter what we wish, this will unceasingly, repeatedly occur in this world and affect each one of us. I myself love the poem of time. Sometimes when I was feeling difficult or low, I would transcribe the poem, and it comforts me because it tells us through the verses that life is all encompassing. No one can expect only happiness in life, nor anyone can expect only sadness in life. We all experience different kinds of things, and they too shall all pass. The things that you feel extremely difficult may feel easier after a day, a week, a month, or a few years, or a little longer. Maybe the situation doesn't change much, but we have outgrown it or have gained the ability to cope with it. Sometimes, maybe it's us that need to change. A time too means that these themes could happen repeatedly throughout life. When facing with difficult situations, we dread of the feeling of long time without a way out. But a time too tells us that everything is time-bound and will come to an end, even the pain itself. A time too expresses the diversity of life and tells us that every difficulty shall pass. And then verses 9 to 15 is the author's response to his own observations in the poem of life. One of the important themes in Ecclesiastes is that people should fear God and enjoy what they gain from their toil. Verses 9 to 10 are echoing this theme as well. The NET Bible translates verse 10 as, "I have observed the burden that God has given to people to keep them occupied." Keep them occupied means to keep people engaged in works. Dear brothers and sisters, do you think it better have or have not things to do. You like to have things to do, or you don't like to have things to do. Usually we only sleep too long if we are sick. So you want to have more free time, or you want to be more occupied? I think in Hong Kong, most of the people, they are afraid of having too much free time. Some people only guess because usually they will say, I'm very busy. Did you mention to anyone that you are busy recently? Probably. I seldom hear people say that I'm very free. I have nothing to do. They always say, I'm so busy. I find that people are afraid of having too much free time. And some of my brothers and sisters even told me, if I have a day off, I will be sick. I will only be sick when I don't have to work. So they call it a busy life, or it's like a destination. They are meant to be busy. Some people also find them with quite serious sickness, just after retirement. Do you hear stories about this? I think there are two possible reasons. Firstly, when we are too busy with work, we don't have time to care for our own health and ignore many signals from the body. Hence, then maybe a mild illness may have turned into a more serious condition after a prolonged delay. It's not that because you are free, so you are sick. It's because you are already sick, but you only notice it when you are free. Secondly, the self-worth of many people are tied to their worth. Self-worth. So when they find themselves less busy, they got pressure psychologically, and it caused to some illness, and would rather find things to make themselves less free. Do you think in such condition or situation, if you suddenly find yourself nothing to do, sitting around, you say, oh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I got to stand up and find something to do. Do you find yourself in such a situation? Whether we could find satisfaction in our toil to enjoy the good things that God gives us reflects our relationship with God too. You just have the hymn, who am I? Who I am? So who do you think you are? Do your self-worth tie to your work? Tie to your ability? If you find yourself free with nothing to do, do you have some? Are you frightened from the heart, or you hear voices? You know, not hallucination, not hallucination. It's just the parents' voice. When you are small, a kid in your house, your parents said, "Why are you so free? Get up and do something." Do some household work, or do your homework, do revision. There are many, many pressure now from parents, right? They themselves have some are much pressure as well. So if you are a parent, when you see your kid have nothing to do and sit around, do you feel pressure, and then you will use this pressure to push them to do more things? Go practice your piano. Go practice your drawing. Go practice your basketball. At least do some reading. Maybe it's because our self-worth is also linked to what we do. It's not, but not our identity. So is our identity linked to the love of God? And how do you think God see you? Verse 11 is one of the most well-known verses in Ecclesiastes. It grants us a great consolation. The praise at time too in the poem of time tells us that the different situations we encounter in life is normal and time-bound. And this verse further gives us a reason of reassurance, because God has made everything beautiful in its time. Some other version translates it as appropriate time, a suitable proper time. This is different from a time to in verses 1 to 8. Its time expresses a designated, arranged time. Because everything that happens are not just chaotic and without orders, but are in God's care and power. Beautiful means good. Just as in Genesis, when God created the world, he saw everything was good. God is the one who creates goodness. The Bible tells us a few origins for human sufferings, human sin, spiritual warfare, and suffering for faith in Christ. Sometimes we suffer from the consequence of our own sins. Sometimes we suffer from the consequence of sins of the others. If we suffer due to our own sins, we need to confess our sins to God. If not, we could hand it to God, look upon God, and trust Him will lead us full. It seems that our city is now experiencing some collective trauma due to the loss of many people recently. Some lost their home, some lost their properties, some lost their loved ones, some lost their jobs. Sometimes we may wonder whether it's okay for us to be joyful while others are facing tremendous loss in their lives. I think if we have the ability, if we know someone in grief or sadness, we may reach out to care with less judgment, more acceptance and empathy. At the same time, it's not necessary to reject the good and beauty in our life, because we also need strength to go on. For example, if you are a caretaker of some cancer patient, you are allowed to relax sometime, to enjoy a cup of coffee, a slice of cake, a good meal sometime, and also sometime with your friends, a good chat. Because we all need strength to go on. It's a long path, and we need to take good care of ourselves so as to take care of the others. In its time, expresses God's beautiful plan and reminds us to peacefully enjoy God's good creation. Don't feel guilty when you enjoy those good things. And then you gain the strength, and then you reach out and help. Verses 14 to 15. The author continued to tell us that God is the one in charge, that everything is in His hand. Our proper response is to return Him with love and fear. It's because humans are limited, only God is limitless. In the face of disaster, we could only lower ourselves, admit that we can't control, and learn to rely on God, seek what God wants us to learn, and cope with strength from God. Verse 15 also echoes Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. God's time is not limited by time, space, or geographical distance. Only God knows and controls the whole. He has His own time and principles. God's time expresses God's divinity and transcendence, and reminds us to do our best to love and fear God. People are easily anxious about the future. But no matter how we calculate or plan our actions, we could never control everything. Sometimes we even cannot control ourselves. Therefore, the true reassurance lies in knowing our identity in God. Be responsible to what has given to us. When we are in the days of peace, enjoy the portion from our toil. When we are in the days of difficulties, seek God's will and lead. Our God is the one who created the world and is true and living forever. As long as we rely on Him, no matter what we face, we would not lose the strength and peace in our hearts. These are the lessons we learned from today's passage. A time to express the diversities of life and tells us that every difficulty shall pass. Each time expresses God's beautiful plan and reminds us to peacefully enjoy God's good creation. God's time expresses God's divinity and transcendence and reminds us to do our best to love and fear God. Let's have a moment of silence. What did you learn from today's passage? Any words from God? Any comfort? Any reminder? Take this time to tell God in prayer, to give thanks, and to ask for strength and help. Dear God Father, we pray that you grant us strength to face the difficulties we have and to enjoy the portion you grant us. And please let us be help for the others, be a blessing to the others too. And during the coming New Year holidays, let us have a good time with ourselves, with our families and friends, and also with God. Dear Jesus, please teach us how to rely on you. Teach us how to follow you. And remind us that we are God's children. We don't do to exchange for favor of God, because you have established the salvation for us. But we could enjoy this identity, and then all our actions are the response out of love to our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.